studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Cliff, can you hear me?
A little bit of noise there. What's going on?
Oh, well, with all this Occupy name of city movement going on, and of course the cities are cracking down on it, in the Caribbean studios, of course, we can't be without our own little controversy. Fred the janitor has been occupying that corner now for weeks, and I'm trying to tell him that, you know, playing the audio sound bite is not working his cause. He needs to go back to work. Fred! Shut it off! We're tired of it. Thank you. Go back and empty some trash cans now. It's done. It's over.
It's over, folks. That's, you know, that's what's going on. It's costing us money. We can't have this. Well, I don't know if it's costing us money, but it's
Well, indirectly it is. I mean, our taxpayer... our taxes are going through this, and it's kind of gone beyond the point. I mean, like Occupy Portland yesterday, the day before, the police and everybody were considering that the Occupy movement was a success because, you know, they had like a little potluck type of thing. It's all festive, and people were taking their tents down. But then there's a radical few that says, we're not giving up. And, of course, you know, Portland, Salem, and surrounding areas had to bring police in to kind of keep things under control. And
well, it's costing a lot of money because they've got to clean up all of this. And these people are not being very, very clean and neat. I mean, you know, it started out, some of them were actually sweeping the streets and cleaning things up and doing this, that, and the other, but most of them are not. And it is costing the cities and the mayors a huge amount of money. I mean, there's a significant amount of money we're talking about that's involved here, and it needs to be stopped. I mean, this is not these people are actually taking, well, I don't know if I want to say taking food out of the mouth of the same people that they're demonstrating for, but that's basically what they're doing. They're taking money away from the things that are helping the people that are need the help, and putting it in just cleaning up after themselves.
Oh, I agree. I mean, just like with the Tea Party, you know, I've heard that they clean up after themselves. Just imagine if Occupy did the same thing, how it would really boost the cause, so to speak. But
well, it really would. And there are websites. I was looking at some of the websites. There are websites out there that advocate doing good things, let's say, but people seem to ignore them. And once they get in there, and they're not only ignoring those, they're actually going to the point of fighting and killing people and doing all kinds of things. So it's just, it's gotten out of hand. And there's no way that they can keep this up forever. I mean, they just want to stay there forever, it seems. I mean, that's ridiculous. I don't see any reason to do that myself.
Well, except it's a lot of it's just homeless people. By the way, I got a question for you.
Yeah?
Who are you, and how do we reach you?
Say that again.
Hi, this is Robin. This is Oregon Update. And that the person who doesn't know how to answer the question is Cliff, and you can reach us by dialing 646-721-9887. Chat room is open, and I bet you Cliff forgot to open up the other chat room, which is at CRBN Radio.
You get the basics up here first. Yeah.
CRBNRadio.com, which is our own chat room. There you don't need any passwords or accounts or whatever. You just kind of go right into it and make up a name. The Blog Talk Radio, of course, is you don't need a password to participate. Well, to watch, you'll be logged in as guest, but if you'd like to participate, unfortunately, you have to have a Blog Talk account, which is free, by the way. But otherwise, give us a call. We'd prefer you do that, 646-721-9887. And I think we're about ready to hear a little tone, which means that Cliff logged into the other chat room.
What has happened here? My chat room is gone.
Oh, no. His chat room's gone.
Something has happened to that page somehow or another. Hmm. That's interesting.
Poor chat room.
Yeah.
And I knew him well.
Really?
Anyway.
Well, that chat room is not going to come up. Sorry about that. I don't have time to rebuild it at the moment, so I don't know what happened.
Welcome to live radio.
Yeah, really.
Where anything and anything will go wrong.
Yeah, give it a chance. And
give it a chance. But anyways, we got a lot to talk about today. A little bit more on the debates going on, and I guess and Obamacare, a little snippet on that. And Cliff, you got some more stuff on your plate too, don't you?
Basically, I wanted to do one thing about it. You mentioned the debates, and I wanted to get into that because I watched the CBS. We'll just call it the CBS. CBS and some other group got together for a debate, and I want to personally say I am unbelievably disappointed in CBS. They are horrible. They did a terrible job. First of all, they only scheduled a 90-minute debate instead of a two-hour debate, which everybody else did. And then they didn't even go 90 minutes. They allowed their different affiliates to go away after 60 minutes. And so after 60 minutes, they said, well, some of you will be here and some of you won't. Most of the people on the West Coast will probably stay with us, and we didn't, by the way. So, you know, it's ridiculous. They went away to go to local news, which is fine, except that then they go back to CBS News the half hour after that. Why didn't they just switch them and let us stay, continue with the debate? So, and then the debate itself, they didn't have control, as far as I was concerned, over the debate at all, like the rest of the world did. CBS, or even CNBC, I think, did a better job than CBS did. I don't know. I haven't gotten to ABC's and NBC. Well, I don't know if CNBC is going to be NBC's or not, but whatever it is, I was very disappointed with what CBS did, and I don't mind telling them so, because they just didn't have control. They tried to make a couple of the candidates fight with each other, and the candidates wouldn't do it. I was very impressed with the results and the responses of the candidates by themselves, by the way, because they were not only very prepared with their subject and whatever their subject happened to be, but they didn't step up to the fray at yelling at each other either. The two yellers, the big yeller is of course Rick Perry, and he was busy trying to take care of his guffaw. Of not being able to remember his own.
And I wanted to throw in a quick comment on that, if I may, is that every person has had a brain fart once in their life. And
oh, yeah.
I think they're making he's not a robotic person. He's a human. People make honest mistakes. I think they're making a huge deal out of it, and they just need to get over it.
Well, I agree. They're making a huge deal out of it. It doesn't make any sense at all. But on the same token, he is probably the weakest link on the debates. He doesn't. But you know, not everybody can get up there and think on their feet that fast. We have a whole bunch of candidates up there that are extremely prepared to think that of things on their feet and answer questions on their feet. They're very, very prepared to do things, and I'm really impressed with him. But he is not one of those. He doesn't do bad. I'm not saying he does bad, and he has some good ideas. I've only found a couple of things on his own website that I disagree with wholeheartedly. But then I find something on, I think, almost everybody's website that I disagree with wholeheartedly. So I'm not at all upset about that. But he doesn't have the tendency to be able to think quite as quick and come up with the glib answers and things like that. He, I think, has sat down and prepared things. I noticed when he lost his I was going to say lost his mind, but lost his way trying to find the department that he was trying to mention. He kept glancing down and just frantically searching his notes and didn't find anything.
Well, the other thing I'd like to throw up there, too, those people that are criticizing.
I'd like to do it.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say, because I'm assuming that they're in front of an audience of some sort. But even just like the form that we're doing right now, just being on internet radio, unless you do it professionally, it can be quite nerve-wracking.
Quite daunting, yes. Of course, he is a professional politician, and he has been in front of audiences a lot. They are in front of an audience, it's probably, and that's the other thing that the CBS audience did that I was very upset about. The other networks, the audience does respond. The audience does applaud or boo or yell or scream or holler, and they do that every once in a while. I want to hear that, folks. I want to know what that audience thinks. I first of all, do know who is in the audience. This one was a kind of a combination of people because it wasn't basically a college group. The one before that was a college group. And CNBC and CNN and Fox all let the audience say something. You can always cut it down. You can always, shh or something. But then all of a sudden, when one time the audience did boo in this particular case on CBS Night, and the host says, "From now on, we'll have no more booing. There will be no more booing," and that's absurd. You don't tell your audience to go to hell. You just sit there and listen to it. And if they get carried away and go a long time and interrupt things and disturb things, that's fine. In the first place, giving people 60 seconds to answer a question is absurd, and they've all done that. That's just, especially if you've got a 2-hour period of time. I'd rather have 4 good answers than 100 bad answers. So that's absurd.
Well, yeah, I mean, it'd be just like this. Like if you were running for any office, and Cliff, how would you handle world peace? What would be your plan? And do it in a 60-second soundbite.
I couldn't even tell you the weather in a 60-second soundbite, for God's sakes. I just can't. It was one of the things. I was on the air professionally, and one of the biggest things I ever had was the fact that I ran over on everything. I just kept mouthing off all the time or doing whatever because you can't do that in 60 seconds. I've been unbelievably impressed with how well our candidates have condensed things down and condensed as to what they're thinking and what they're saying. They've done a very, very good job of it, and we were doing a good job of it the other night. But they spent more time saying, "Your time is up, your time is up, your time is up," than they did getting answers. And in a lot of instances, of course, and I don't blame them, the candidates just ignored them anyway and kept talking because you can't just stop at mid-sentence. That's just absurd. So I was very disappointed in CBS.
Well, I agree. I mean, and I'll admit I've missed the last couple of debates because I've been having this thing called a job. Kind of gets in the way of personal life. Of course, not having a job really gets in the way of personal life. Anyways, I digress.
I'm not going to mention the fact that they're all online and you can watch them now. I won't mention that.
God will get you for that one, Walter.
Yeah, probably.
But anyway, some of the questions that have been asked.
Yeah, the things you can go after me for.
Of course, some of the questions that they have that they're asking. I mean, granted, they do ask a few good questions, but I don't know. It's just we're putting together a team to run for the highest office in the nation, and you would think that they would take it more seriously.
Yeah, really. Exactly. I don't know what their trip is. I really honestly don't. But it's just absurd. And of course, I wasn't. They asked some pretty. They tried very hard to get people upset up there on the stage. I don't understand. I thought CBS had good people working for them, but the two that they had up there asking questions didn't even know how. They didn't know how to get the people upset. They didn't know how to get under their skin. They made just stupid questions.
All right. This question's for the panel because according to our CBS polls, The public really wants to know this, and there's been some controversy. Candidate number one, boxers or briefs?
Yeah, really. Well, then I will have to say they didn't get quite that basic. The very, very first one or two debates got that basic. But now the people, I think, have watched enough, and they realize that these candidates are prepared to answer questions. I mean, especially Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich has this thing. If he thinks the question is stupid, he'll tell you. He'll tell you so. And
what?
One of the people asked him a question. I don't remember who it was, and I don't remember exactly what the question was, but it was one of these questions that he had been over and over, and everybody had been over and over. So they asked the question, and Newt just says yes, and then he just stopped talking. And the person just sat there waiting for him to say something. And finally, they said, "Well, aren't you going to say something?" He says, "I've answered it." You know, and then he went on to something else, since they were urging him on to fill his 60 seconds, so he went on to something else, and then they were going to cut him off before 60 seconds were through. But anyway, we're getting into technical details. But the whole point is it didn't go smooth, it didn't go well. The people were very upset when they started talking to Herman Cain about his dalliances, supposedly, or the apparent alleged dalliances.
Yeah,
and the people are not interested in that at this particular point. People, I mean, the audience was upset about that. If your audience is that upset about it, leave it alone. I mean, you know, it's just ridiculous that you know, why alienate your audience just to get some stupid thing from the candidate who's already answered the question 40 times in the past week. So, you know, that wasn't part of their questioning. They were talking about national defense and doing wars and things like that and what we would do. And the other thing I get upset about, all of them, not just CBS, all of them, and CBS was not the worst at all, but they leave the lower runners out of things. Huntsman is his name, I guess, and Santorum. They're the low men on the totem pole at this particular point. And they just almost ignore them. They hardly ever ask them anything, which I don't think is at all fair. These two guys do have an opinion, and in some instances their opinion is actually quite good, but in almost every instance it's quite different than the rest of the pack. So we should find out about it. We should learn about it rather than just ignoring them. I don't agree with them necessarily, but in a couple of instances I do. But I don't think, you know, if they've taken the time out of their life to come there and to be on the panel, I think they should be allowed to participate.
Well, they should have an equal opportunity. I mean, look at Herman Cain. You know, he came out of nowhere. If he was treated that way, I mean, he wouldn't be one of the front runners.
Actually, he was treated that way originally, yes. But
there you go.
He is very good at answering. See, he's a good soundbite person. He's got all his soundbites put together, and he's also very good at throwing in humorous quips and things like that. And he's also very good at, when you say your time is up, he keeps on going. To hell with him. He just keeps on talking. And they have to either make a fool of themselves or let him finish, which I think they should just let him finish, which should happen in all cases. So, you know, more power to Herman Cain. He's there because he worked hard at getting there. So I don't put him down for any of that. He did a very good job of worming his way in, so to speak. And I'm glad he did, because he's got some good ideas.
Now, speaking of worming our way in, I want to... we have several people popping in and out of the chat room here. They've been logging in as guests. Like I say, unfortunately, all you can do is just kind of read along, and there's not too much activity other than that. The best way to do it is to give us a call, 646-721-9887. You can listen to the program live while we're broadcasting, which is why it would be live, by dialing that number. And if you want to participate, you just push 1 on the handset. And if you are listening to us from the archives, then you can send us email, talk@krbnradio.com, or comment on the Blog Talk Radio page. And speaking of commenting, something I'd like to do is get some business out of the way from our sponsor, Dancing Dog Cookies. If you haven't checked them out,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Cliff thinks that they, and maybe I'll talk to them about this. It should be a Dancing Cat Cookies. But anyway, Dancing Dog Cookies, check them out, dancingdogcookies.com. They're all natural, handmade. They're it's a husband and wife team that does it, and they're available online or in participating stores in Lane County. So,
good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
And like I say, maybe someday they'll make Cliff happy and have a dancing
dog. What they could do is, you know, if they make Dancing Dog Cookies, maybe they could make dancing cat mittens.
Don't no, there's
cat yeah. mittens. It's cold. It's weather's bad. Make mittens.
Make mittens.
Make.
Yeah, sure. Now you're going to give McDonald's some ideas. You know, you bring your dog with you. Get a McTreat.
I didn't say muck mittens. I said make mittens. Anyway, so much for that, by the way.
Yeah. So how about make phone calls, 646-721-9887. If there's a you can comment on the topics that we're talking about, or if there's something else you've seen on the news, or you just want to add to the mix here, give us a call, 646-721-9887, or, again, join us in the chat room. All comments are welcome. Just keep it clean.
Yeah, that would be nice to keep it clean. I don't, you know, doesn't have to be squeaky clean, but still. But there are a lot of things going on other than that. The whole world is in. You realize that we now have a new prime minister in Greece and a new president of Italy. The world is changing, and it's all economically spurred at this particular point. There's unbelievable problems going on in the world as far as how much money everybody has and everybody doesn't have. So you need to consider that, because Italy was right on the brink of bankruptcy. And
fast.
Yeah, no thanks. I'm having enough trouble saying it slow. So anyway, they are right on the brink of bankruptcy. And so they've got a new prime minister. I guess it's Italy is a prime minister too instead of a president. So it's important to watch what's going on. You know, all of this stuff is available on the internet, and so it's very important to pay attention, because we aren't an isolated place anymore. The United States is basically a part of a bigger thing called the world, and the world is affecting us. I hate to tell you this, but it is definitely affecting us a lot. So we need to pay attention and see what's going on and see what we can do about it. But the most important thing is to start voting. We're very close to voting. And
I just want to make a quick comment. What you're saying about the world changing is this last year, 2011, is going to be remembered as the year as that people got fed up and are doing something, and they're discovering that even when it comes down to private business, the power in numbers makes a difference. Look at Bank of America, for example, who has finally given up on that $5 fee because so many people have spoke with their wallet and says, we're not going to do this. You guys are charging us.
Absolutely, yeah.
The Occupy movement, which has grown around the world. I mean, like them or not, the whole point is masses of people nationwide got together.
Yeah.
And I think they even walked away from there, or they took them with them on there. Oh, I know. Oh, here it is. They walked away from the football games, but then I just remember we got smartphones. They can take football with you. So they can get out of the house now. But
well, it is true, though. A lot of people, you know, things are happening. The Occupy insert city here is the major problem with that is there are two factions of that. There are people who actually have an agenda, and then there are people who are just simply out there because they're homeless, don't have anywhere to go, and it's a crowd of people, and they can get along with them and all that sort of thing. And there's too much of that going on. There's too much of just being there because I have no place else to be, and consequently, that's where we get the problems with the fights and the making a mess and not cleaning it up and things like that. There needs to be more agenda to that. There are a couple of websites, and I'm not going to try to mention them all to you because there are several, but you need to go to the internet and put up Occupy and put in a question mark or whatever. Just put up Occupy and go until you find something neat, because there's a lot of different organizations, but there are a couple of websites who are trying to organize things and make it actually do something. But unfortunately, it's not getting the response that the Tea Party thing does. And I think it's because mostly, again, the people that are in this Occupy program are there to try to get something. They're there to try to get money out of you they're not there for a cause, so to speak. And the Tea Party people are there to accomplish something, and they aren't afraid to put their dollar where their mouth is, and so they're getting a lot further. So I don't think we need the two of them. And since the Occupy program is getting so intrusive at this particular point and costing us so much money, New York is saying that they spent $1 million trying to clean up after these people and fix things. Smaller cities have spent up to $300,000 trying to take care of things. It's costing us our city's money, and this is the money that would, you know, most of these Occupy people are saying, help me pay my rent, help me pay my tuition, and things like that. This is the money that would do that. This is the money that would help people do that. And you're taking it out of their mouth by just making a mess all over the parks and just getting in the way. So it needs to come to a halt.
On top of that, one of the biggest complaints the Tea Party has, and I kind of agree with them, is the Tea Party, they go get the permits, they go get the insurance, they go through everything, and now it's kind of a 50-50 thing. The occupiers didn't do all that, but then again, is it smart with that amount of people that are in a group to go, well, sorry, you can't, you don't have the permits, you can't assemble here, and then create a riot?
Well, actually, to be honest with you, most of the Occupy people did get the permits originally, but the permits were not to live there, and that's the difference. The Tea Party people don't go there and pitch tents and live there, for God's sakes. They go there, have their event, and then leave. But the Occupy people want to go there and live, and they want to be there for months. I mean, I was watching an interview with some businesses that were on one of the streets that was across the street from the park or whatever. Anyway, they had put up barricades and wouldn't let people down those streets. And this guy had to fire several of his employees because this had been going on for 2.5 months now, and he didn't have any business. Nobody could get to his business. They were destroying businesses in the process of trying to get their point across. So they're not thinking the whole thing through. They're not organized, and they're not doing things properly. They've got to come up with a better way. But that's
And they still don't know. Speaking of organized, they still don't know what they're protesting against.
Most of them don't. That's the problem. They're not protesting against anything. They're just there because it's a place to go. That's the difference thing. And one of the websites to go to is just real easy, Occupy Together. That's the word, occupytogether.org. And they're trying to organize things and put things together. And you can even go there if you want to do this, but do it properly. You can go there and learn how to do it properly. You can even get posters and materials and things like that. You can discuss with other people. There's a discussion thing, page, and you can and they're trying to put something together. It's not been there very long. It's only been there since the middle of October, that website, putting things together. So they aren't that well organized, but at least there's something there that they're trying to do. So if you want to become a part of that, you might want to go there and at least try that. But don't just go out and do something on the spur of the moment and decide to live there. That's just not the answer. Living there, you know, if you don't have a place to live, I'm sorry, there are other places to go than, well, maybe there aren't. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like on the Portland KXL, what they've been commenting is that, okay, they got noticed. The best advice for them is to get friendly with the media.
Yeah. Get friendly with the media, but try to, how am I going to say this? Try to manipulate the media. Try to organize the media. Try to get them to say what you want them to say. But first of all, decide what you want to say. That's the important thing, because the media is not too reliable. I'd like to think that they are, and I'd like to think that we are. And if you want to get on here and talk on here, once again, please do so. It's easy to do. You just give us a call, and I'd like to hear from you. 646-721-9887. 646-721-9887. And let us know what you want to say, and call us and say it, because maybe you don't agree with what I'm saying. Maybe you don't agree with what we have online here, but... you've got to come up with some ideas, some legitimate ideas that mean something, rather than just going there and taking up residence. And there aren't that many cities in the United States. I'm looking at a list here of the cities in the United States. I'm sure this is not a complete list because, for example, even as I look at it, I see that Eugene is not on it. So I know there's an awful lot of places. They're probably just picking the bigger cities. But it's still important that they do something.
Exactly. I'm sorry for the dad here. Oh. I got someone on the background.
Okay. That's fine. But, that, you know, the some of the cities, because they do Albuquerque, New Mexico, for example, Allentown, Pennsylvania, Atlanta, Georgia is a big city, and that's on the list. But they do have Seattle and San Francisco and Santa Fe and San Jose and Portland and Riverside and a bunch of these, San Diego. But there are some of the smaller cities that I'm sure are not on there. And then there are some international cities. It is international, but it's not as much as you might think. There's Denmark and the Netherlands and Belgium and Athens, Greece has one. Berlin has one. Brussels, Belgium. I'll get it out. Yep. Frankfurt, Hamburg, Germany, Newfoundland, Canada, Manchester, England. But, you know, these are huge cities, and only listing like one in a country. So there's not that big a thing, and it's fine. It is getting along, but I'd be really curious to be able to – I'd love to have money and be able to go and visit these other cities and other countries and see what they're there for and what they're talking about. I'm sure Wall Street does affect them just as much as it does us, but I don't know if that's what they're there for. It'd be interesting.
So there you go. You heard it here. First, folks, if you'd like to send Cliff overseas for our on-site reporting, please donate to our local funds.
Yes, yes. A couple hundred thousand will do it.
Yeah.
I could get over and back.
You can get over and back.
Yeah.
We won't make you hitchhike like we did the last time.
Really? Really? Okay. Anyway... That's basically it for the Occupy people, because they're creating more hazard than they are help at this particular point. I'm not trying to be nasty and just get rid of them or anything like that, but they are creating a problem at this time, and we need to do something about that. So they get organized online and then go do something. Don't go out and do something and then try to get online. That's what the difference has been. They've been putting this whole thing together. Instead of organizing it online and doing something, they're trying to go out and take over the space and then go online and do something. That's the wrong way to do it, in my opinion.
Speaking of taking over, I understand that the little snippet on Obamacare, that the Supreme Court has finally agreed to debate over Obamacare, which I think is rather well. It's about time, basically.
Yeah.
Because they're going to do is that they're going to hear the challenge brought by a group of Republican governors and attorney generals from 26 states. And the whole question basically is not so much Obamacare itself, but did Congress exceed its constitutional powers when it required most individuals to carry health insurance or pay a penalty? And I can still think of a lot of logistic problems with that alone. Like, for example, being the fact that, like Cliff said earlier, we're not wealthy, I depend on my tax refund every year to pay my property taxes. I can't afford health insurance, and much less it has to be qualifying health insurance. So at the end of the year, and I believe it's 2014, if it goes into full effect, I could lose my refund just by paying health care penalties.
Yeah, yeah.
That's already if you don't think it'll happen, what is it, Minnesota, one of the M states that's already doing this, and people are paying several hundred dollars a year, they don't have insurance. In fact, to kind of throw a short piece of history, during the last debate, Obama and Mrs. Clinton were, because Clinton wanted to do health care when the Clintons were first in office. And during the debate, Obama says that, you know, with your plan, people are going to have to pay a penalty and still not have insurance. And then he implements it.
Yeah. Well,
it's
really kind of sad about this whole thing. This whole thing that the Supreme Court is looking at, they're also looking at tax implications of the law. You know, it's trying to impose certain taxes on people at the same time, and that's not real. But the biggest thing is it's all going to come too late to help. So this, you know, Obama may try to put a stop to it and get something done ahead of time and himself, because basically the arguments wouldn't come in until March. That means a ruling wouldn't come until like June, and that's right in the middle of the 2012 election cycle, and that could screw up his entire election campaign, and so it may be a moot point. You don't know. Don't never know.
And the thing is, they got to get over the aspect, well, we'll get everybody insurance. Well, by passing a law, it's not going to get everybody insurance. There's a reason why people don't have insurance. But also, just like when Obamacare was first announced, or I think it was Obamacare, where this one lady comes out and says that the Obama administration is going to pay my mortgage. When they first announced Obamacare, the hospitals were filled up because people thought it was going to be free health care.
Right.
They're only hearing what they want to hear. They're not looking at the details. A single payer system such as what Canada has would be great if it's done right. If you take what other companies or countries have done with single payer and you take the good parts of it and don't use the bad parts, because it's already been tried and true, we don't have to reinvent the system to do it. And that way everybody can have health care without sending us into the poorhouse to do it.
Well, I just personally feel we should get rid of all insurance companies, because they should be illegal. Myself, I think they're a gamble right in the beginning. First of all, insurance can't work unless you know they're not going to do what they say they do. Because I can pay $20 a month for my entire life and never pay in enough money to cover one major health infraction, you know, because those can run up $100,000 just immediately, and I can pay, you know, it's an awful. How much is $100,000 divided by whatever your life is? It can't really actually work. So consequently, it shouldn't be a legal thing at all. There should be some other way of taking care of it. It's costing too many people too much money, and too many people going through the cracks. Are you still there? I think we lost Robin somewhere along the line here. We'll see if we can get her back again in a minute. But anyway, you look at insurance and look at the fact that we've got mandatory automobile insurance, for example. And if we've got mandatory insurance there, why can't we have mandatory insurance here? I disagree with it, but I don't see why not. Are you back again or not?
I'm back. I don't know what happened. I lost my link.
Yeah. That's what it told me too, but I waited until something took place. But anyway, you're back. Nice to have you back. Welcome home.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. And just by the way, while we take this little brief pause here, we got three people listening in the chat room. Welcome. Again, you can join us, 646-721-9887. We encourage you to do that. If you've never, ever, ever called a talk show, this is actually a good forum to get started. And no pressure, we're just broadcasting worldwide. But no, seriously, it's a good forum to get started with. It is addicting. And give it a try, 646-721-9887, and you can listen to the show or just push 1 on your touchpad. And it is addicting, and if I can do it, you can do it. So come on, give us a call,
646. If you do want to talk to us for free and not have to go pay anything or sign up or anything, you can email us at talk@krbnradio.com, talk@krbnradio.com, and I'm going to open that and watch that. And if you do email us, I'll get it immediately. And see if we can do that too. That's a thought. Talk
right.
At krbnradio.com.
And if you call us, we'll stop saying 646-721-9887.
Well, we may not. We want as many calls as we can get. We can take more than one, you know.
We can. We have a lot of phone lines here.
I think it's 6 that we can also take at once or something like that. It's quite a bit. Basically, you can, you know, this is what do they call it? Interactive radio?
Something.
Let's do it.
It's the real social media. Speaking of social media, I wanted to just get that a fleeting thought on the debates, and then I want to move forward. What do you think is that instead of having a question-answer, you know, podium, is that they just have a moderator, get everybody sitting around the table and just have just roundtable discussions? Let them bring up a topic and let them kind of go at it themselves and don't have any time limit.
That is, they do that on the different networks. There's a couple of networks that do a program like that. They got 5 people out there talking. They all talk at once, and you can't understand what any of them is saying, and it's very frustrating. There are a couple of people. There are other debates that are going on, by the way, at the same time as this is all taking place. This is the major debates that I've talked about and that I tell you about are not the only thing happening. There are other debates that are happening. The next debate, by the way, is the 19th, I think it is. There's going to be debate as well, and that's C-SPAN doing that one. That's going to be on C-SPAN. So November 19th on C-SPAN. If you want to find out about where those are and you want to click on it, cliffradio.com has a list of those on the right-hand side, and you can go click on it and see their website. But their November 19th is the date, and it's important to know that, for example, there are 3 or 4 that I've already listened to where they pick just 2 people to sit down and talk to each other, and those are very informative. They go usually for an hour, and they're extremely informative as to what's being said and how it's being said. And one of them was Herman Cain and I think it was Newt Gingrich, as a matter of fact. But there have been 2 or 3 of those, and I have gone and listened to those, and they're very, very informative. So you might want to take a look at those and see what those are all about, too. It's something to look into. It's very... You learn so much, and you know, but I want to get these people to change their their thinking on this 60-second crap, because you can't do anything in 60 seconds, folks. I'm sorry, you just simply can't, and we need to have them rethink that and come up with something different. There's no reason why they can't give them like 3 minutes or 4 minutes or 5 minutes and then a 2-minute rebuttal or whatever, and 2 minutes to the people. It doesn't have to be the 60 seconds. You don't need to get all of the questions of the world in at once. You can't do that anyway, so why try? And I will say CBS did pick up, I think, 3 or 4 questions from the Internet. They didn't do a real good job of it. But a couple of these people are using the Internet stuff very, very well, and I'm very impressed. So I think the overall, the candidate forums are doing extremely well, and I think that's, I personally believe that's the way that, that things have to go, because that would be the least destructive of every way to do it, is if we gave the, every network had to have two candidates, or two forums, rather, before the election. And we're talking six or seven networks, and so 14 different candidate forums, and they need to be free to the public, free to the candidate. The network can spend money on them if they want to. The network can play, buy, sell advertising in them, one, but not so much that it interrupts them. But anyway, there are ways of doing this, and I'd like to see them, more of them, because that's the only way I can think of the, a candidate getting nationwide.
Well, and speaking of, if we can have our IT guy go ahead and put that schedule on the caribbeanradio.com website, too, that would be very helpful. But anyways, we spent quite a bit of time on the debates and touched a little bit on Obamacare, which is going to be kind of interesting. And if people will just put the pressure on that they've been doing with the Occupy movement and the Tea Party. But like Cliff has said many a time, you know, stay focused on the upcoming elections, because it's really going to be very important. We need to get Obama out of there. We also need to change, well, personally, just get more involved and remind the government that we are the government, and they're the ones, not the people, they're the ones that got us into this economic crisis as we are. In fact, a little short note on that, when was it last year, Cliff, when they announced that the recession was officially over? And we just looked at each other and said, what?
Well, yeah, it's, again, another indication that the people on the Hill, so to speak, the people in the House and the Senate and, of course, the presidency, they don't know what's happening. They're not aware of what's happening. They are not very good at taking the pulse of the nation at this particular point. They need to do something about paying attention to what's happening in the world. And I again, my layout of how to do things, one of the things we're going to have to do in a very, very soon manner is change terms. People, we need to make this everything one term. The career politicians have got to go, because they spend all of their time out there trying to get money, not to trying to govern or to figure out what's going wrong, right or wrong, or good or bad or whatever. They're just out there begging, and so we've got to make sure that we get people in there that don't have to spend their entire time begging. So in other words, you can't go two terms. You can go more than one term, having one in the middle if you want to, because that gives you the time to go out and beg for money while you're not actually supposed to be governing the country. But the point is, you need to have the time that you're in office to spend doing office things. And because we as citizens are being cheated out of the entire whole thing. We can't do it. They won't let us do it. And then they're not doing it. So something's got to change about this whole thing. And it's not just here, by the way. It's, you know, it's becoming quite apparent with what's going on in all of these different countries in Europe and around. It's becoming quite apparent that everybody's doing this whole same thing. The free world, I guess, is what they want to call it. But the only thing is, take a look in Asia, and things are different there. They aren't following the same route that Europe seems to be getting themselves dug into and now having to bail out. They're doing things differently. So you might want to go online and look around and see what's happening in Asia, because that's the direction everybody's going. We're talking about, should we be selling more stuff to China, for example? And should we be selling anything to China?
Well, one thing I kind of wanted to throw in the mix there, to get back to what you're saying about the politicians or what's going on in Congress, is because they are isolated. I mean, Warren Buffett came out several months ago with an interesting idea. Before I say that, I just want to add a comment. Politicians, the people in Congress, they only care what you think when it comes time for reelection, because otherwise they got no other reason to think, because once they're in there, it takes an act of God to get them out of there. But Warren Buffett's idea is, he says, you just, I lost my page here. He says, basically, you pass a law that says that any time there's a deficit of more than 3% of the GDP, all sitting members of Congress are ineligible for re-election. You know, it's just, it goes along the same line of, well, you know, we're really hurting, the deficit's record highs, and we're going to give ourselves a raise because we're doing such a wonderful job. I like Buffett's idea. Make it more accountable to what's really going on.
My only problem with that is that I don't think Mr. Buffett is in any more position to be able to make decisions like that than the different politicians are, because he has so much money, he doesn't care. Once we're already to that point of the 3% of GDP or whatever he wants to call it, it's too far. We should just see to it that they can only have one term, period. And that way we don't have to worry about sanctioning them. We don't have to worry about yelling at them. We don't have to worry about saying, okay, you can no longer be elected, and because that would be a considerable disruption of our lives, everybody's lives, if all of a sudden we were going along thinking everything was fine, and then presto, up pops this 3% figure, and now everybody has to be reelected. Whoa, what happens? We have to have special elections? What do we have to do? Because that becomes a real scary thing. So I don't think he's thought that one out.
Everybody has to be reelected. They're ineligible for reelection, which basically, if I understand what his thinking is that your term's not going to expire, and you're going to go away, we're going to be left with nobody. His point is that, like your point, you know, they get elected, then they get in office, and they spend the rest of the time trying to get reelected. And they're not really, well, if you ever watch C-SPAN, look how many don't show up. Look at how many were they Obamacare, the 2,000 some odd pages of Obamacare, and they're just saying, well, why read the bill?
Well, again, that's what we're paying them for, and they're not paying attention to what we're paying for. So again, I feel that we need to limit them to one term. That way they either do what we are going or go away, and they're going to go away anyway, so they may as well do it. Because they have nothing else to do. Now, if they don't do it, then we need to have, I'll go along with what your idea of coming up with some sort of a sanction to remove them from office if they aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, or some way of making them do it or changing them out ahead of time, because, you know, you elect somebody, put them in office, and they just sit there and collect their paycheck for 4 years. That's not the way it's supposed to work. These people are supposed to be there to actually make changes, to actually accomplish something. And we aren't putting any limits on things. We're not saying that you can't spend any amount of money. You can spend whatever you want. We're not putting limits on things. And what limits are there, we're not endorsing. And we're not, why have a law if they're not going to do anything about it?
Well, yeah, the people have been wondering that as it is, just with the immigration issues. But speaking of law, as we're coming up on 2012, if you have, a lot of people aren't aware of this, but if you have your favorite light bulb and it's over 60 watts, you better stock up on them, because there's a light bulb ban that's scheduled to start taking effect in 2012.
Well, yeah, that's true. You know, the I don't know.
The government tell you what type of light bulbs you can have in your house. In fact,
it tells us all kinds of things. I'd rather have them tell me what kind of a light bulb I can have, rather than what kind of a car I can drive or what kind of insurance for that car I have to have. And that's what they're already telling me. So there are some major problems here that we're just sort of ignoring. And the point is, let's get government off our back. They shouldn't be telling us any of this stuff.
I agree. Well, in California, they passed a law that you can't sell car dealerships cannot sell new cars that come in black.
Can't sell black cars?
They can't sell black cars. And the reason for that is because black cars heat up faster inside in the summer, and so it takes more of your air conditioner's power to cool them back down, and that's the reasoning behind it. But, yeah, they banned the sale of black cars.
Well, that's stupid, because so are dark blue cars and so do dark green cars, and that means all cars that have to be white or tan or, I mean, you know, there are some people that have some great ideas, but you can't do that. That's just insane. It's just way too far along. You can't do that.
I totally agree. But again, you know, government just gets a foothold in something. Okay, like the Oregon seatbelt law, I'll use as an example. It was pushed by, I think it was a dentist that got it on the ballot, really pushed it, and then they were talking about, they had people from the emergency rooms coming in and saying how much money it would save. And so it finally got voted in as a non-primary offense. You know, if you happen to get pulled over, say for a burned out taillight, and the officer noticed that you're not wearing a seatbelt, he'd cite you.
Mm-hmm.
Then a couple of years later, they changed it over to a primary offense where they actually set up patrols looking for people who aren't wearing their seatbelt.
Yeah.
The point is, they got the law in under one thing, and just once they got the law in, then of course they expanded on it, and now they'd like to go even further than that. I mean,
this comes back to my whole idea that we've got to make fewer laws. Laws have to expire. We have to have smaller government. This particular thing you're talking about is actual state government, so they're the ones that I want to keep. But our federal government has to be restructured and cut down. But again, if you listen to some of the different people that are talking, the different candidates and what they have to say, you can't go in and make huge, big cuts and changes overnight in all of these laws. You've got to go in and do it a little bit at a time. And so I think the first thing we need to do is exactly what our candidates are, the Republican candidates are pushing right at the moment. The first thing you've got to do is do a change in the tax rates and a change that will affect jobs. You've got to get the people back to work and making money and where they can accomplish something and do something. And then we've got to get to the root of getting the actual federal government out of our pockets and off of our backs. So
that's the thing right now is, how do you do that? I mean, Obama's saying, well, we need to raise the taxes on the wealthy. Well, you know, the only thing that raising taxes does is it puts more money into the government.
No, it doesn't. You think about that. It's not going to do a thing. If you've got a millionaire that's paying no tax at all right now, and he's paying $300,000 a year to a lawyer to keep him from paying taxes, when you raise the taxes, he's not going to pay any different. He's not going to pay it anyway, because he's still going to have other people to take that away. Unless they have a flat tax that requires him to pay this certain amount of tax, and there are only two people on the roster at this moment that are proposing a flat tax, then it isn't going to accomplish a thing. You know, you raise his taxes, he's not going to pay any more than he did if his tax is 20% right now, and he's got lawyers to get him out of it. When you raise it to 40%, he's going to have the same lawyers to get him out of it, and he's not going to pay it. So it's not going to make a difference. And I don't care how much money you have, saying that you're going to raise taxes on them is not going to make a difference unless you make it a flat tax and change it for absolutely everyone. Because you got to understand, we've got over 40% of the entire population that's not paying any taxes at all. And I'm not talking about rich people. There's only 1% of them. But 40% of our people are not paying any taxes.
And you can't have a flat tax. And as soon as you start adding deductions on that flat tax, like, for example, interest on your home. A flat tax, you can't have that. It has to be totally flat with no deductions.
Right. I agree.
Otherwise, you know, you're getting back into the same old thing we're doing now.
Yeah, every time you make an adjustment, you're adding a couple, 3 or 4 pages to the tax code, and we're going to be back up to 32 again.
It's to the point where the individual can't file their own taxes anymore without having to hire somebody.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
I hire somebody every year because I have a mortgage.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand it, and of course, I don't have time to keep up on the different tax laws and whatnot. But if Obama really, in my opinion, if Obama really wants to help the economy, he needs to just step back. The government itself needs to step back and let the economy do its thing. You know, quit changing the rules in midstream and quit the, you know, I know that they're more concerned about, you know, because be honest, if people aren't working and businesses go under, the government hurts for money, and that's really all they care about. I mean, I hear that even at the local level. We don't have money for our project, so the first thing we're going to do is cut fire and law enforcement because that's what affects the people the most. And then maybe we can come out and say, well, we're going to add another 5 cents a gallon tax to kind of help fund this stuff. You know,
The simple fact is we're all going to have to suffer for a few years in order to get this thing down, but it all has to cut down. We have to cut back all on everything, state and local taxes as well, federal taxes the most, and the economy, you've got to cut back on everything, and you've got to have a balanced budget. I don't care what you say, the budget has to be balanced. You can't just keep spending more than you have coming in. It just can't happen. You've got to take a hint from the rest of the world. We're looking at what Greece has done. Greece was spending 120% of its gross GDP. You can't spend more than you take in. And if you do that, sooner or later, it's going to get to you. And when it does, then you go bankrupt. And things natural consequences sort of sudden, and basically everything gets screwed up. And right now, Greece, Portugal, Italy, Spain, a bunch of these have got this problem. Now, you can see, you got to sit back and look at what's happening. China is one of our major problems. We're not accepting that fact, and I think our president has decided he wants to be friends with China, but we've got to do something about China. China is a major, major problem because they are...
Something about China, we can't even do something for our own. I mean, we haven't come up with a solution to fund our own government. In fact, the last time they put another temporary bill in place, I mean, we can't even take care of our own house. How can we go tell other countries how to take care of theirs?
When you have somebody, for example, that's buying a Walkman from Sony, looking at it, building their own version of it, and selling it back to us at half the price because they don't have to pay for any of the royalties, they don't have to pay for the units, and they're then now taking money out of our pockets because that Sony was made in the United States. Sony, most of their stuff is made in the United States nowadays. But the point is, they're stealing things from us and then selling them back to us at less price because they don't have to make them. They don't have to pay for that property. China is just out and out stealing and lying and cheating. And, for example, they're adjusting their currency so that it makes it easier for them to do things. And it's all illegal. It's all illegitimate. And we're just letting it happen. So until we get off our high horse and realize this business of world trade is only good if everybody works on a level playing field. So there are some people, China, Korea, a couple of these places, where we have to level the field. So there have to be some tariffs put in place on what's going on. And everybody's so panicky and so worried about, well, then China won't buy from us. They're not. It doesn't make any difference if they buy from us, if they turn around and steal it and sell it back and cheat us. It's just stupid to think that way. And everybody is.
Well, and we also need to take a look at why China can undercut us. I mean, it costs more to manufacture in the United States. That's one of the reasons why that a lot of companies have went overseas.
Yeah, that's true, except that it sort of is and sort of isn't. We have the ability to manufacture things, for example, because most of these places where things are really, really cheap, they're manufacturing things one of two ways. First of all, it's our companies that have gone over there and spent the money and built the factories and put the equipment in to do the manufacturing. It's not their country that's done it. If we make our tax code low enough, in other words, if we have zero tax code so that they can, when they build a factory here, it's not going to cost them a huge amount of money in taxes to be able to do that. They'll come back and do that, and then they'll hire the people from here. There are ways. It's all put together, and you need to sit down and read some of these tax code things, some of these ideas, and specifically, in this particular case, Newt Gingrich, he has some great ideas, and he's got facts and figures to back them up. But the problem is that we're just sitting back saying it's too easy to do, and we aren't even bothering to do anything about it. I'm sorry.
I'm just ribbing you because you're having a tongue tying day today, and you being the professional announcer.
that's true.
But anyway, while we're positive for a moment, 24 minutes remaining in the program, folks. Still time to give us a call, 646-721-9887. And if there is a topic other than the ones that we've been discussing today, you know, feel free to call and suggest it. We're very flexible.
And there are a lot of topics we're not hitting on, I'm sure. So we'd be more than happy to hear from you, because let us know what you want to talk about. There's got to be some things that you want to talk about. I mean, we can get into the idea of is anything too big to fail? No. That's
exactly.
Our whole economy was built on the fact that it can fail, and things can fail. And so if we decide we're not going to let them, then we've changed the whole system, the whole idea of how our economy was built, and the whole idea of what our country was built on. So we've got to get off that bit right away and realize that industry takes care of itself. Businesses take care of themselves. If they, you know, if I open a business and I can't keep it going, then it's going to fail. Why should I have somebody stepping in and helping me out? And if they do step in and helping me out, am I ever going to pay that back? And here we're not doing that. Look at General Motors. General Motors still hasn't paid back. They were, I don't remember exactly how much they were given, but they still owe $60 billion, folks. And they've been spending money, and they've been outsourcing. They've been building factories in China. They've been doing this and doing that. But they're not paying back the money that we gave them, not even making an attempt to. One of the things they did do to say that they paid it back was they changed it over to a different name, and then changed the debt into a different name and said they paid it back, but they didn't. They just changed where it was. And so the point is, our government is still not getting the money back. Even fiat is doing better than that.
Well, and look at Ford. Ford recouped without any government bailout.
Ford didn't get any government bailout. They were that's the thing I'm getting at. If the company were financed and operated properly in the first place, wouldn't have needed that bailout. I mean, if if a company goes broke. Look, we lost Montgomery Wards. They didn't know what they were doing. Once they changed, these companies get old, and the people who founded them and did the good job of putting them together die, and so consequently that isn't there anymore. That direction isn't there anymore, and all of a sudden they go under. Well, that's the natural consequences of things. Things happen, and you do lose some things, and that's what's going to have to happen. We don't have to have 16 different car companies in the United States. That's not the necessary thing. We need to have three or one, if necessary, car company that's healthy.
Well, the thing is, competition is good. Well, for one, because like in this economy, for example, if you notice that the size of car windows are getting smaller. There's a point that if you had to crawl out the window, forget it. But when you look at it, you say if you trim a window by a half inch times how many millions of cars you're going to produce, that's quite a savings. But on the consumer side of it, you're getting cheaper. Things are falling apart. They're all snapped together. I've got a car out here. The engine's really good. Transmission's good. Everything else is falling apart on it because it was made cheap.
Mm-hmm. I was.
And that's why a lot of people have bought they're buying Toyotas and non-American made stuff because, unfortunately, I mean, I hate to say this, but in my opinion, a lot of the American goods, there's no quality in them anymore.
Well, you need to pay attention to advertising, because in this particular case, this is one where you're missing the bet, because J.D. Powers, which is a very respectable company who decides how things are built and whether they're good or not, has decided that Ford has the best product, not an overseas company anymore. Things are changing. There are companies in the United States that are doing a good job, and it's people are not paying attention.
The thing is, Ford learned a lesson, because there was a time that even Ford admitted that they were building their cars to fail. And, of course, the market went somewhere else. And so they realized, because it hurt their bottom line, that they got to do something different. Now, granted, I have not been a Ford fan, but I'll give them credit where credit's due. Their pickups have always worked very reliable, have always been very durable. The cars, well, they're actually getting better on the cars. They've been, again, responding to market because they, sure, they're one of the big three. We do have three still, don't we? But the thing is, they know that they can fail.
Yeah.
If they don't please the consumer, they can fail. GM, who was failing, is like, why should they care now? I mean, the government came in and bailed them out.
And they're expecting them to do it again, by the way.
Yeah. So what's their incentive to maintain quality, to be responsive to the marketplace? That's the whole point of competition.
Well, see, that's the point, is they don't have any anymore. That's why we should never have done that in the first place, and we should never do it again. And that includes banks and everything else. There should be no possible reason, including cities, states, and counties, or cities, counties, and states, however you want to put it. They should be allowed to fail as well. And, of course, when they do that, the simple fact is everybody says, well, what happens if Lane County fails? You know, who does what? What takes place? Well, the simple fact is they've got to cut things to the point where they can live off what they've got coming in.
Exactly. That's what I think of that. When the federal government was saying it was going to fail, a lot of people agreed with me on the fact that let it fail, because when things fail, it forces you to stop and relook at everything.
Well, the fact is the federal government has failed.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that they just keep passing bills and printing up money, and they always find a way. Well, you know, we're not going to be too worried about it because we're not going to close the federal government down. It's not going to happen. You know, we'll just pass a bill. But the thing is, you know, you look at the waste, you look at money that needs to be cut, and, again, looking at the role of government in our lives, maybe it would be a good thing for it to fail.
Well, again, I maintain it has failed. It is going to take a little bit of time before we realize it and before we're not going to be able to do things. And we already are not doing things. We already have had our credit rating cut. We are feeling a national, worldwide pinch, not just national, but it's happening worldwide. And it's not slowing down. I mean, they can tell you that
they're
not getting better.
They're not taking it serious. I mean, when the... was it Moody's or whoever it was that cut the rating from AAA down to, okay, Obama came out and says, well, as far as I'm concerned, we're still AAA.
Right, right.
It's like, President, I'm sorry. I mean, it's just like, you know, you're going around Congress now because they're not agreeing with you. It's time to get back in the real world, and maybe that's the biggest problem right there. You know, I mean, they're living in that little isolated area up there, and they're not directly responsive to the real world, and they're living their little fantasy. It's like me telling my credit card company that even though I had to declare bankruptcy, I still have an 800 credit score. Yeah. They say, well, yeah, you go ahead and see how far that gets you.
Well, see, that's it. It's not getting us anywhere, and it's not getting us anywhere because we've got to consider what the world thinks of us and not just what we think of us. And, of course, what President Obama thinks of us is totally inappropriate anyway. As far as I'm concerned, he needs to be gone and will be gone. I have no doubt in my mind that we are going to have a new president in 2012. It's just simply going to happen because there's no possible way. If we do not have a new president in 2012, I think I may try to figure out how to move to Mexico or go somewhere, because it's got to change. It's got to be different. But the simple fact of the matter is you can't spend more than you've got, and we do. And we've got to take a look at Greece. You just simply have to go take a look at what's happening in Greece and now in Italy and Portugal is going to be there too, and Spain. Spain is the third largest economy in the world, and they're teetering on the brink of disaster. Spain, the third largest economy in the world. I didn't say next to us or after anybody else. They are, period, the third largest economy in the world, and they're not doing well. So if the third largest economy in the world is not doing well, who is? China and Germany. That's it. That's it, folks. And Germany is struggling. So China, that's why I say we have to consider doing something about China. That has to be a part of our plan for the next 4 years, like it or not, because China is going to end up squashing us all. That's what they're obviously after, is taking over the economy of the world. And when they do, there's going to be some major problems, because Chinese people don't think the way we do. You know, we've got to understand that you know, it's just like when we have a problem with a war with a Muslim nation, we get upset because they don't think the way we do. Muslims don't think the way we do. That's not bad or good or different, but it's different. Or excuse me, it's not bad or good, but it is different. And so you have to consider that, and we don't. We just say, wow, you're wrong because you don't think the way we do. So we've got to consider what's going on here, and we've got to take a look at what China is doing. And it's not very covert anymore. It's getting very overt as to what's happening. It's becoming very obvious. So we've got to, you know, this old business of free trade is a great idea, but there has to be a limit to free trade if someone's cheating.
Yeah, it has to be an even playing field.
And we don't have that. We don't have that in this world today, ready or not.
And that's why I'm saying is that, you know, your example about Sony, you know, somebody can make a knockoff product and sell it back here for half the price. Well, like I said, it costs us more to manufacture over here. Maybe looking at reducing some of those expenses, and you know, taxes are a lot of reason that things cost so much. Taxes, permits. Like in Eugene, for example, the permit process is just a nightmare. It's hard enough to get things approved for building a house, but to try and build a plant to manufacture something, well, besides the permit process, you also have to deal with local regulations. Like, for example, Eugene is a nuclear-free zone, and there's been businesses that have looked at Eugene, West Eugene area, which is the industrial area, and have been denied because, well, one company, they make nuts and bolts, but nuts and bolts are included in missiles and stuff, and so they were denied a permit to build.
Yeah, and there are so many totally absurd rules and regulations that are in effect right now. And again, that's one of the things that our candidates for the Republican Party at this particular point have addressed. I don't think they've addressed it as thoroughly as I would like to see it addressed, but then nothing is going to be always perfect in my eyes. But, you know, they've got to consider a lot of things. But even at this particular point, we've got an administration that's just sticking their head in the dirt and hiding. They don't want to see what's going on around them. They just want it to be the way they want it. And they don't even know what's happening. And that's the biggest problem. The old joke about, you know, go ask Obama, how much is a loaf of bread? He's not going to know, or a gallon of milk. He's not going to know. Now, he may go out and look at these things because they're so basic, but an awful lot of things, he doesn't have any idea of what's going on. And I don't think even Michelle Obama would have an idea of what's going on. They don't do this kind of thing. They are much different society than we are, and we can't have two societies in this world, especially when one of the societies that doesn't know what's going on is the one controlling the others. So we've got to have somebody with some street smarts in there. And we can only do that if we make it less expensive and less impossible to run for an office.
Well, and also from the public's point of view, keep the pressure on. I mean, when you think about the process to begin with, like, take Oregon, for example. If the Oregon legislature, which, like I've always said, is always good for a laugh, decides to pass a law and we, the public, don't like it, Well, we can go around and gather signatures and petition to have that law put on the ballot, so at least we can vote on it. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because on this one, when it comes down to a federal law, our only options is to write our representative, and hopefully they'll pick up the ball and do something about it.
Actually, I think you can do a federal law by a petition, too. It's just that you have to petition to the entire country, and how do you do that? You've got big bucks to do that, and that's not an easy thing to do. There are a couple of things, I don't know if you've ever paid attention, but there's I want to say this, but I don't even have the information in front of me. There's a website to go to for a direct election. There is a website to go to where they are actually taking votes and doing a direct election, which I think we need to pay attention to because it's something that may happen before too long. Because the simple fact of the matter is we've got to get rid of this class rule. We've got to have everyday people allowed to be in on what's happening to us and with us. And the internet is changing the world. I mean, it really, really is. And I think it's going to, you know, it hasn't even begun to get a lot of the way of a lot of the things that are going to happen haven't even begun to be started. But I'm really looking forward to it. But the point is, right now, we've got to take it one little step at a time, and the simple fact is we've got to change how we campaign finance reform, so that we can get people in there that are not millionaires, and then we've got to, in the same process, get the current ruling regime out. I don't think that's a problem. I think that's going to happen, but we've got to be really careful. Because if we get the Democrats out of there and we've got all Republicans, you got to be really, really careful because there's got to be a checks and balances in there. We can't have all of everybody doing the same thing and have it work. So,
well, if I can elaborate on that point, is when you have a candidate, and here's the thing to keep a watchful eye out before you decide, like Obama. All you ever hear in his speeches anymore, well, the Republicans are doing this, the Republicans are doing that, and George Bush did this, is when you got a candidate that is spending most of his time blaming others, and especially, blaming the other party, I would make that a red flag because, help me out here, Cliff. I'd make it a red flag because, they're not coming up and saying, okay, well, this is what I'm proposing. The Republicans got us in, or Democrats got us into this mess here and constantly, okay, it's fine to say that up front.
Well, the simple fact of the matter is you can't leave the decision down to one person. Why do you think we've got 535 people behind him that are supposed to be helping him make the decisions? He's not supposed to be making decisions by himself. That can't happen. And that's what is happening, and that's going to destroy our country.
Maybe the whole point is, like I said, with him not accepting the fact that our rating went from AAA to AA, that, like Congress – they're not passing his jobs bill. And, of course, he's going around the country, you got to tell Congress. Maybe the fact they're not passing the jobs bill because maybe they actually woke up and read it and decided it's not good for the country, and that's why they're not doing it.
That's exactly what they did. In this particular case, even his own Democratic Senate has not passed it because it doesn't make any sense. The House can only stop things so far, but if you look, this has not even gone past the Senate. And so consequently, you've got to understand that there's obviously very little about it that's acceptable to anyone. And so consequently, he's not getting anywhere. But that's because he's decided that he has the answers and nobody else does. You can't do that. You can't run the country that way. And especially if you're that far removed from what the rest of the country thinks is right or wrong. The simple fact is you can't just keep printing money. You got to understand that, look at the figures, and I don't happen to have them. Talk to Michelle Bachmann. She does. We are something like 20 times more out of balance right now than we were when he took office. And now I don't, And it, granted, it got out of balance while Bush was in office, too, because there were two or three things that happened while Bush was in office that actually a couple of them he had no responsibility for. The 9/11 thing, he had to do something about that, and he did not have responsibility for that. But the war in Iraq, we didn't have to do that. We didn't have to do that. So I do blame him for that. But
okay, I'm sorry to interrupt you, just because we got about 4 minutes remaining. I wanted to throw a quick question out to you. This came up about 5 hours ago from MSNBC, and Nancy Pelosi, of course, is having to defend herself for insider trading based on stock purchases that were affected by the decisions that Congress made. So my question out there is, when you're in a public office, especially one that can change the policies of the nation, should you even be involved in any type of stock trading?
Okay, I have not read this, but I don't see any reason why you can't. I mean, you're still subject to the same laws with the SEC that everybody else is. So if you've got insider trading, if you've got insider information, you're still going to be put in jail. And I see no reason why she couldn't be put in jail just as easily as somebody else. So I don't see any reason to say she can't be involved, but I do say she has to be held to the same laws and rules that everybody else does. That's our biggest problem. We pick and choose who we're going to put in jail.
Well, I agree, but you know what they can do, because they have that power of changing policy, is that say you go buy a stock, for example, and you're playing options, and you're going to bet that stock's going to go down, and because you know that in about a month or two that a new policy is going to come out that's going to adversely affect that stock price, and you're going to make a lot of money. Now, that's insider trading, and it's highly illegal with the SEC. And yes, you will do jail time for that if you get caught. But here's the thing, is because of your position, you're in a position that, you know, you make these type of decisions that can affect the market. Should you even be allowed to be able to buy stock to begin with?
Well, I'd have to look at it a little closer, but on value of what you've just said, no. She should not be able to buy stocks. Of course, you say, I don't think anybody should be able to do this. These wildly, I make money going up, make money going down. That's wrong. Stocks should be bought on purchasing for something that's concrete, something that's actually there, a business, a metal or something. They should not be made on what money does. I mean, they're. I have not been in the stock market enough to know what even any of the terms are, but I do believe that half of the stock market should be illegal.
Anyways, I want to throw one more thing out in our last 60 seconds. Send us an email or a comment. Does what's going on with Herman Cain and what the four women are accusing him of, is that important to you? Does that affect your vote? Be curious to know about that.
There is a poll out there, and basically Herman Cain, nobody is concerned about that. Everybody thinks it's stupid. You should have watched one of the debates, the one they brought up. What it was about, the public literally booed them and made them stop asking questions about that, because the public is not concerned about this. They're going to let it happen in the laws and the courts, first of all. And the second of all, most of the public doesn't believe it is actually true. They believe that Cain did nothing. And
the point was to get people to send us emails and stuff, not to put a study up. But in any case, we're out of time, and so we'll be back again next Monday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. Again, if you run across something that's important to you, you want to make a comment, please send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com, or comment on our blog talk page. Until next week, see you.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.